Accession number 30267, Reel 3.
You know how I'm going to finish this up, don't you? Yeah. At the end of it. If you want to know any more about me, go and go to the library and get the book.
Well, I shall make a note of that, Joe, on this, don't worry. This is, we're now on Reel 3, aren't we? And so this must have been a very successful time for you at Prince Albert.
What?
And it would seem to me, from what you've been saying, you know, you took to flying like a duck to water, that you found your vocation, as it were.
I'm not joking, I've taught idiots to fly.
But you did take to it.
Yes.
There's
one thing I could do, could fly.
Yes, and as you will be telling me, you know, with your record, which was really impressive.
It is, yeah.
Not only
I'd never have been put on Pathfinder and gone straight to Mosquitoes had I not had a very, very, very strong recommendation.
So after your experience on Tiger Moths and gaining this very coveted, you know, Lenweight trophy, am I right in thinking that you then went on to fly on Cessna Cranes?
That's right, yeah.
And this would still be in Alberta, wouldn't it?
No. Prince Albert is Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, yes.
Prince Albert.
But went to
Claresholm, Alberta.
Right. So could I ask you about that now, please, Joe?
Well...
Is this when you were commissioned?
It was eventually, yes. But Claresholm was an advanced flying training command. It was called Number 15 Service Flying Training School. And this was now, of course, back to the Canadian Air Force. The instructors were Air Force now, not civilians. And it was a twin-engine training, of course, with a great deal of emphasis on navigation. And I always remember that whenever I went... As a navigator, I used to have to take a pail and a towel with me. I found sitting in the back navigating, whereas I could fly without any, doing all sorts of things, aerobatics, without the slightest qualms in my tummy, when I was navigating and sitting in the back with somebody else drive, I was quite frequently ill. Yeah, I was a bit concerned about it, but however, I wasn't ill, strangely enough, on my final navigation exam, which was rather convenient. But I found the twin conversion quite simple. I got away quite quickly. And three events that, from my point of view of Claresholm, Alberta, were one, you were sent flying with another pilot, sitting up in the front cockpit, but the two of you, we had dual control, and you were used to have to shield the front screen of the one pilot, and he used to was then supposed to be doing nothing but instrument flying. It was good training for instrument flying. On this occasion, I was flying with a chap whose name I think I will not mention. But he suggested, oh, to hell with this, let's go and do some low flying. Which we weren't supposed to do, but I suppose I didn't want to be a spoil sport, so away we went into the Rockies, into the foothills of the Rockies. And as we turned round sharply, there was a dead end. And there wasn't a great deal of power in the crane. And this pilot who was sitting on, he was in charge, or had it in pilot, seemed to freeze. And so I took over, put on full power, dived to the bottom as far as I could to the bottom, then pulled myself up into a wing over and narrowly escaped hitting the other side of the canyon. I went back and I didn't know what to do. If I'd have reported this, I should have been in trouble for going low flying anyway, so I might well have been grounded. So I decided I've said nothing, but it worried me enormously to think what would happen if it happened with that particular chap on operations, what would happen if something unexpected happened, because he certainly didn't react as quickly as I did. Anyway, that was a scare that I got. But the other time was when I went low flying on one occasion against the rules, and I saw what appeared to be a farmyard, and a young girl waving to me, and I thought that was rather nice. So when I noticed where this farm was, and when I went back to camp, I got a friend of mine who had a car, and next weekend we had off, I kidded him to go and drive down to this place. And this young girl, probably only about 15 or 16, was the most exquisitely beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life. I think they were part Indian. The farmhouse was a poor but absolutely immaculately clean. It was beautiful, and so much so that I was so impressed that later on I managed to buy a very nice dress and have it taken down to this girl in this farm. They entertained us to a meal, and they were surprised. They thought everybody in England was starving. They were under the impression that everybody in England were starving. But anyway, that was the other experience is a little different. Claire's Home coffee shoppy where we all went and had coffee and donuts and so on and so on when we could afford it, and so much so that we got to know the waitress there. Doreen, her name was. And very nice person. And there were three chaps and myself who went, I thought it was crazy, to drive 80 odd miles just to go to a dance. But the Canadians think nothing of driving 80 miles. I thought it was absolute madness. But however, we drove up to Calgary for a dance, and we took Doreen with us. Now, I was considered a pretty good dancer, but not the Canadian way of dancing. And I even had myself said, I was even told by one girl, you can't dance. But anyway, it was good fun. The driving was there. And when I graduated, there were a few of us commissioned, and presumably the fact that I had graduated honor student, they'd made such a fuss about it, and I did pretty well at the SFTS. I think for some reason or other they couldn't very well pass me over, and they had to commission me. So at one stroke of the pen, by inference, I became a gentleman, because I became an officer and a gentleman. But however, that was that's for other people to decide.
What did you think of that? You know, did you want to become an officer,
General? Not particularly. Financially, you were better off as a sergeant or a warrant officer. But I was glad, because I felt that had anything had, although I never dreamt for one moment anything would happen to me, but I felt that had some accident happened to me, my wife and children would be better off pension-wise as an officer's wife and widow, or widow as a child. That was my main thoughts. I was a little annoyed, because on the way, there was one other aspect. There was a rumour going round that I was going to be kept here as an instructor. And I went and saw the station padre. And I said, "Look, sir, I have no intention of staying here as an instructor." He pointed out the importance, etc., etc. I said, "Yes, I know. But as far as I'm concerned, I would consider myself more important making aeroplanes than I would be an instructor." And fortunately for me, this was a recourse I had. Had I failed the course for some reason or other, unlike many of the others who were then put into the army or anywhere in the Air Force, I had to then go back to my factory. So I felt I had a strong hand to argue with this. Anyway, I begged the padre to make sure that I was not kept behind as an instructor, because otherwise I should refuse my wings. So I felt so very strongly about it. There were a couple who were kept behind as instructors, and then, but I came back. The experience of 5 days and nights in a train going from Claresholm through to Moncton, which is New Brunswick. The first day or so it seemed okay, but then after a couple of days there seemed to be some division between the sergeant pilots and the four, I think there were four officers who had been appointed. And whereas we had on the way down played bridge together without any problems, there seemed to be a hesitancy, a distance, if you like, which I didn't like one little bit, but it was there. The coming back to England, came back, believe it or not, on the Queen Elizabeth.
What was that like?
Well, that was quite fun. We came back a lot quicker than we went.
What about the accommodation? What have they done with the Queen Elizabeth?
It was pretty decent accommodation. It wasn't, of course, like it was done as a troop ship. It'd been converted to a troop ship. And most of the time, there were very, very few British people coming back. Most of them were Canadians and Americans and so on. And they were, of course, all in the master lounge, playing dice or craps or throwing the earth name and gambling to high heaven. And, of course, our pay didn't lend itself very much. But I made a study of their gambling. rather than taking part in it, because I didn't have the money to take part in it. However, it was a good trip through, and we got to Halifax, and then I was sent to Harrogate, the personal reception centre, where I was given, I think, £40 for uniform allowance. Fortunately, I was a standard fit. I could go to Burton's or 50 shilling tailors or anyone else and get a fit. But even so, I had to ask Lucy for a few pounds, which was very tough at that time, to help out with my officer's uniform.
So the £40 didn't cover it then, Joe?
It didn't really, no. It didn't. A lot of the other chaps who were from wealthy families, of course, they went to Gieves or somebody else, like Norrie did when he was eventually commissioned. And he was very, very upset when he... Oh, dear.
Norrie had big ideas. But we'll come to him later. Yeah. Becoming an officer, there were obviously, it was a downside for you, as well as the sort of status.
I didn't find really any difficulty. Having I lived so long in the West End and mixed with real gentlemen and ladies and titled people at that, it didn't strike me very, very difficult. And by that time I was able to speak as well as most of the others spoke anyway.
But it seems you didn't like the division that existed.
I didn't like the division of who had been very, very close friends. Right? One little instance about this. I was at Shawbury. After, let me see now, we go from there's one story of Harrogate that I will tell you. We used to go to the Black Swan. We used to call it the Mucky Duck, of course. And there was a very, very attractive blonde in the Mucky Duck. And many, many years later, when I was researching my family, I phoned up a chappie in North London and asked him, "Are you Joe Patient?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Who are you?" I said, I'm also Joe Patient." He said, "You are the bugger I'd have killed you," he said. He said there was a very, very attractive blonde came at my home and asked to see Joe Patient. I had a hell of a job convincing my wife that I didn't know the girl. But anyway, he said, at least she was a very beautiful girl. Not that I had anything to do with it, but she, for some reason or other, did know. That was the thing at Harrogate, the only bit of fun we had there. After Harrogate, we went down to Bournemouth. It just was a holding station, really, waiting to be sent to a flying station. It was good fun. We stayed in a good hotel, and there were tea dances and Lord knows what else going on. Then I went to 11F Advanced Flying Unit, Shawbury.
So this was going to be your advanced training?
This is an advanced training, and then we went on to consuls. Oh, sorry, to Oxford. The Oxford.
Am I right in thinking that would be a twin engine?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, the Oxford, the twin engine, it was the basic trainer at the time. There were two, the Anson and the Oxford, but the Oxford was the better one training.
Did you know at that time, Joe, that you were going to be a bomber pilot?
No, you didn't know what you were going to be. At that time, I've forgotten to mention that at every station along the line, you answered a questionnaire. What did you want to be? When you put whether you wanted to be a pilot, a fighter pilot, or a bomber pilot, or what have you. And when we were at Shawbury, for the very first time, a commanding officer asked at a meeting individuals what they thought they would like to do. And there were some remarkable answers. Some felt that they needed additional training. Some said they would like to go on to fighters, others bombers, etc., etc. And eventually, because I was at that time as a senior officer in this particular squad or party, and then the CO said, "What about you, patient?" And I remember exactly what I said to him. I said with respect, sir, I said, "I don't think it matters a damn what we say, because all along the line we've been asked the self-same questions, and I don't doubt that whatever the situation arises, if there are so many vacancies on such and such an OTU or advanced or whatever, willy-nilly, no matter whatever you've done in the past, you will be sent there. That's my considered opinion, sir." Oh, he never said a word. Next morning, I found myself on the flying list with all sorts of things, because each thing you did had a letter which said what it was, whether it was instrument flying or low flying or etc. or whatever. And I had several on there I hadn't come across. And who was going to take me? The flight commander. First time I'd ever been on a plane with him. And all he said, "Patient, show me what you can do. Take me low flying." that I really enjoyed. So I took him low flying, and I flew as low as I dared. And then he suddenly, because they cut a motor on me, right? You were able to shut the fuel off to one of the motors by turning a cock, and he, without me knowing it, of course, turned this off. And apparently I reacted to the emergency with satisfactory thing, and I said, "Shall we report the situation and return to base, or is it self-manipulated?" I think I said. So he says, "It's all right, patient. You can carry on single flying for a while." So we flew single engine for a while, no problem. And anyway, he put the back, and he was obviously impressed, because the next thing I knew, I was sent to a decompression test. And it was interesting, because they take you up to 30,000 feet, in a chamber by, and all the time you are with oxygen, of course, and then they exhibit the effects of anoxia, which is oxygen starvation. And it's you won't believe it, but you start by writing your name full in a signature, and then as they turn the oxygen off, instead of being P-A-T-I-E-N-T, it'll be P-A-T-I-E-P, P-A-T-P, P-A-P-P, and then you'd fold nothing at all, scribble, right? And then they turn the oxygen back on, and immediately you're writing a full signature, but then you notice that your trousers have been taken off, and your shoes and socks, without you knowing it. And it shows you the effect of oxygen starvation, that and you couldn't, you didn't, because you suddenly felt very cold, and you know, looked down, I got my trousers. And of course they did this in turn to everybody, to show to impress upon them the effect of lack of oxygen at altitude. And I came back with a certificate to say that I descended at 3,000 feet a minute, etc., 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 without any ill effects. And at the bottom it said FIT PRU, Photographic Reconnaissance Unit. But it only said FIT for, sort of thing, you see. So I'd passed the test without any problems. And I thought, well, perhaps this is what they might send me on. But no, it wasn't to be. I was then put on to, stayed at Shawbury as a staff pilot. And I think this was to give me a few more hours of flying experience. And then out of the bolt of the blue, I became a posting to a mosquito conversion unit. No one ever went to mosquito conversion unless they had previously done a tour of operations or done 1,000 hours as an instructor. But I was sent to a mosquito conversion unit. So I can only attribute it to the fact of my comment to this CO and the CO's recommendation. Right? He obviously thought I could fly. So, because a group captain, again I won't mention his name, wrote an article, because my son sent me the article in one of the aviation magazines, which said that no one went onto mosquitoes without at least 1,000 hours as first pilot. I wrote him a letter and took a photostat of my logbook, where I went to mosquitoes with 380 hours. So anyway, I never had acknowledgement of the letter.
So that was a very unusual.
Very unusual. Oh yes, I was one of very, very, very few.
And did you then know, Joe, that you were going to be a bomber pilot?
No, I didn't. Well, I knew I was going on to mosquitoes, but then mostly the mosquitoes. I figured that I would be bomber. It became obvious at the mosquito conversion unit because we were then trained onto the Mark 4 after the Mark 3, which was a dual controlled, we chained onto the Mark 4, which was a bomber aircraft.
Where was that?
That was first of all at Finnmere.
Oh, Finnmere,
yes. Yeah, that was a conversion meet. Then I went to the Marham on the same flight, 1665. It was 1655. Mosquito conversion unit. Then we went to Marham, and then we carried on training at Marham until then. I went to Finmere on the 1st of June, 43, and I went then to Marham a month later, and then on the 25th of August, 43, I was sent to my squadron.
That's
which was 139 squadron at Witten.
Now, am I right in thinking that at Finmere, when you were on the Mosquito Conversion Unit, this is when you first met Norrie Gilmore? So
yes.
Could you tell me about meeting
Well,
Norrie and how
what happened
him?
Is that there were eight